Welcome to DSAIA's podcast. I'm Dina Tharp, the executive director, and today's guest is Mazarine Treyas. She is, of course, she is the wild woman of Wild Woman Fundraising. Many of you know her from the presentations that she's done for us in the past. So she's done a lot of webinars and just recently did one for us earlier this year. But we're excited because we're bringing her back. We're not even missing a beat here. Bringing her back to do a masterclass for us on annual reports. And so many of us, Mazarine, they're like, really? I know we're supposed to do those for our donors. You know, gosh, who has the time to do it? But it's kind of, you know, something that even though we don't want to do it, if we had a little help, like with this masterclass and running through it with you step by step, that is something that it doesn't have to be a nightmare, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I hear you if you're in a very tiny new or startup nonprofit, or even in a nonprofit where you have maybe a couple staff for your Down syndrome affiliate. It just seems like the last thing on your plate, and so often it can just be left off the plate. However, that said, because I mean, that was my life. No one ever taught me how to do an annual report, and I just had to kind of wing it. My first one was so terrible, and my second one was marginally better, but there were still a lot of things to learn. And if I knew then what I knew now, well, I realized it doesn't have to be such a big deal if you get organized, you know?
Exactly. I guess, though, it really is, and I should probably tell people, the masterclass is a three-part series, mm-hmm. and it's June 12th, the 14th, and the 19th, and so you can register for that. You can find us at dsaia.org. You'll see where to register, and if you're listening to this podcast after the fact, oh, you missed it. Too bad. oh, my gosh. I think as going in and saying, okay, it's my first time to do an annual report, you're just going in and probably just surfing the web, looking at other people's annual reports and trying to figure out, like, do I like this? Do I like this? What's good about this? What's bad about this? I mean, but I think the bigger question that people don't think about, they just say, hey, we have to do it. Why should you do an annual report?
That's an incredible question. It's not just checking a box on your communications plan. It's really about creating a document that's good for foundation funders, that's good for individual donors, that's good for people to understand what you do and how you do it and how you really impact the community with your work. And you can use stories in this to then make an appeal letter at the end of the year. And you can really build on this to make significant amounts of money. So for example, last year I interviewed a organization that's a YWCA in Cincinnati, and they combined their annual report with their year-end appeal, as in they did an annual report, and then they had the same theme, look, and story in their year-end appeal, and they raised over $300,000 with that.
Well, that's a big deal. That's a lot of
money.
It is.
It can be a fundraising document par excellence because you have way more space to tell the story and try to hook people in various ways. Plus, to appreciate your donors, appreciate your board members, appreciate your staff. It can be a total love fest that can make people want to give and give and give to you for a whole year round.
Yeah, I think you kind of get lost on the fact that it's more than just a laundry list of your donors. Mm-hmm. And a list of your programs. So there's a lot more there. And a well-designed annual yes. report. I mean, that's really more. I mean, anybody can go in there and do, okay, this, but what will a well-designed report do for your nonprofit?
Well, it'll make you look like you have your crap together, basically. It'll make you look like you're worth actual money, that you invested in the image of your nonprofit and that you're going to do good things to their donations. Whereas if you make a report that's like 2 pages long and in Comic Sans, you know, font, people are just going to be like, this nonprofit isn't serious. Like, a font creates a feeling. You know, so if you aren't aware of the feelings you're creating with your fonts, I mean, even if you have a really well-written story and your font is like 11-point font and light gray on a white background, no one's going to read your incredible story. And that's just a waste of your energy and time, you know? So it's about getting your story read, getting people to see that you're professional, and getting you the sort of like the eyeballs that you can just really show people with a visually what's going on before and after, you know? And then like the pictures are there.
Right. And I think that people think, well, I don't want it to look too good. They'll think we spent money, too much money on it. But I don't think funders think that way as much as we in the nonprofit world think they do, because we know we can do things for less expensive. It doesn't always have to be printed. It doesn't, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are doing there's online or in digital formats, but even printed doesn't have to be so expensive.
Right. And, you know, actually that happened to me in my last annual report that I made when I was working full time at a nonprofit. A board member said, "This looks really expensive. How much did it cost?" And I said, "I designed it myself and it didn't cost us anything. We had a generous corporate donor print it for us for free." And she's like, "Oh, you know."
Okay, well, then it's fine.
Okay, then it's fine. Yeah. So we didn't actually pay anybody. I just did it. And the reason I did it is because I studied good design. It looked better. The fonts were better. The pictures were better. There's a lot of white space. Like, there were so many improvements on my second one than my first one. And basically what I want to do is help you look good with this series that we're doing. And I want to help you look to funders like you really, you're creating a huge impact through your programs, and they need to be able to see big pictures of what you're doing, and they need to be able to read what you're doing. So,
exactly.
And it can create emotional processing if they have it in their hands, and emotional processing is critical to giving.
Yeah. You got to tug at those heartstrings.
Exactly.
What are some principles of good annual reports?
Well, one thing that I like to see in a good annual report is the financials are not just the audited financials. Like, anyone could just take from whatever their accountant gives them and just plunk it in your annual report. But that's not actually very visually appealing. And it doesn't really tell the story of, like, is your income going up over the last several years? Is your income going down over the last several years? You need to figure out, like, what's going on here, you know? And the donor needs to see, okay, are they in trouble? Do we need to give more? Are they not in trouble? Do I want to give to a winning team? You know, either way, you can spin the story that you need money, you know? So
that's right. Well, because we all have to be politicians. People realize that. We all have to be politicians.
Yes, exactly. So good financials mean like a good graph or chart that basically says, here's our budget over the last several years, rising or falling. If it's falling, well, we lost some funding. You know, we need your help and support now. Or maybe our event didn't make as much as we wanted it to, you know, our walk or whatever it is. Another good key part of an annual report should be your stories from your programs. That's just a really big piece. And the stories from programs are not going to be called like our outreach program. Or our school support program, for example, for Down syndrome kids. It would really be better served if you'd be like, you know, you make a really interesting headline for the story, like, oh, I don't know, Danny didn't know he had friends until, and then dot, 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 and then you read the story. You're like, oh, right. All the kids love Danny, and he felt so alone. But he's not alone because he has us.
Oh, Danny couldn't read until
yes,
he went to our reading program in the summer. Oh, it's so great.
Yes, and you got to be around kids like him and had a really good time. You felt normal.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. So what are some trends that people should be aware of in annual reports? Coming down the pike?
Yeah, we're covering
Give us
this.
Just a teaser. Just a teaser.
I will. Well, we're covering this in the three masterclass series, so I will say that there's several key things. One is what's called flat design. So that means, like, maybe you'll have a picture, and then you'll have words on top of it, but there'll be, like, a rectangle behind it that's kind of transparent, which is useful. And if I was, you know, showing you a slide right now, I'd show you an example of this. But if you do that, you'll.
I think they could probably look at pretty much any DSAIA email header, or Website graphic.
Yeah, if you Google flat design, you can find it as well. But yes, exactly. And you can totally just see that that makes it look more modern. Another thing that like is pretty common now is just using sans serif fonts for everything, because that's easier to read online. Another big trend is doing online any reports that are not a PDF. That's actually like a landing page where you like go and look at all the different parts of your mission for the whole year. And actually in our class, we're going to be talking about how you can create an online annual report quickly and easily, even if you're not like a web designer or a programmer or anything like that, because I'm not, and I still made one. So you can do it too. Another trend that we're seeing right now is just really big pictures of programs and even little movies inside of the annual reports online.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. I can see video being a big piece of that.
Yeah. I mean, imagine that you had the kids in your programs being like, thank you, all together. You know, I mean, right. Like your donors at the bottom of your annual report, just a quick little 5-second video. How good would that make your donor feel?
Absolutely. I can't wait for the masterclass. Honestly, I think it's going to be fantastic. But I just want to mention that we're doing it in the summer. And I realize that everybody's fiscal year may be a little different. We have a lot of calendar fiscal years in DSAIA members. But even if you don't, it's a great time. But we thought summer was a good time for us to, you know, take a little summer school and, you know, spend a little time doing some professional development and making, you know, some inroads in your, hopefully, fundraising like the Y did in Cincinnati. I would love to see somebody come back in and say, oh, we raised $300,000. No big deal.
Well, I interviewed them about exactly how they did that. And that's in the second class of our annual report. So I will show you the timeline they used. I'll show you the wording they used. I'll show you the image that they used, and you can replicate their success.
We're so excited that you're going to be able to do this for us. I just really think that people don't, I just think the annual report seems like a chore. And so, you know, it can be fun, but it can't, I think it's more fun when it's, you know, that it's going to be lucrative for your organization. So any thoughts on any words of advice on the people that might be on the fence about taking the masterclass?
Mm-hmm, sure. I should say I misspoke earlier and that, you know, I can't guarantee you're going to get $300,000 from this.
I would say they probably get that that's not a guarantee. So we will just get that out there. We don't guarantee that you will.
But if you're on the fence about coming, I can tell you for sure that you will walk out of this masterclass with a much better understanding of how to make an annual report quickly and easily that looks professional, that even get a sense of like how you can get it printed for cheap or free. And on top of that, you'll impact your nonprofit for years to come because you're going to help people trust you. Because when they see your financials, your stories, your videos, your pictures, they're going to be wowed by how much you're accomplishing, and this will pay off long term for you, and you can use this in outreach, in events, in so many ways. Please come.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for spending a little time with us for the podcast. I think that whether or not they are able to attend the masterclass, they've gotten some really great tidbits of information from today, and we look forward to the masterclass and look forward to working with you in the future, Mazarine. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dina.